Women's ministry of the past, present, and the future is super important. And we're going to start with the past. In the ancient times, the role of women in ministry looked vastly different from what you would see today in a local church. There wasn't a formal women's ministry program with Saturday morning brunches and prayer circles and craft projects. Yet it was an active and vibrant ministry, and it was part of the everyday. It becomes more evident as we begin to expose what women's ministry looked like in the Old Testament. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the sky, the land, the sun and moon and stars. He created plants and animals, fish, and he created man and he named him Adam. Noting that man should not be alone, God created woman from Adam's rib and he named her Eve. This was the first embodiment of Old Testament women's ministry, wife. So the fundamentals of any ministry are this, is that one, ministry has the goal of promoting the gospel. Two, ministry is a servant's position. We're called to serve others. And three, ministry is relational, building relationships between those that we're serving and relationships between them and Christ. God didn't look at Adam and think that he needed another being to dominate. He recognized that it wasn't good for man to be alone. He created a relationship for Adam with another human being. A special one. Eve was created to minister to Adam's loneliness. God then commanded Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply, filling the nations to the ends of the earth. This was the second embodiment of Old Testament women's ministry, the role of mother. Eve was given a special gift. She could bear children. God could have created more people, the great heroes of the Bible, from the earth, just like he did Adam, but Eve was given a special calling to minister through the birthing and raising of godly children, just like us. And even if you don't have children of your own, you're still an integral part in the influencing and shaping of children and young adults that are going to enter your life. Our primary ministry as women was outlined by God in the book of Genesis. We are a gift to our husbands, and we are gifting the world children who know and love God. And in both these ways, we honor God through having children. We are actually equipping the Great Commission. But we can't neglect that not all women in the Old Testament or the New Testament and not all women today have a spouse or children. This too is a gift that we can embrace because we know that that means that God has chosen a different calling on our lives. Just as we established in the last topic, God will detour from those established roles when he has cause to do so. If you are a woman who is married, who does have children, it is important to recognize that this is your first priority in ministry. It was established in the Old Testament, and it is just as important today. In their role within the household, women would also minister to their slaves, maids, and women within the community. They would take food to the poor, and they cared for the sick. They would adopt orphan children as their own. They looked not only to their affairs, but the affairs of others in noble ways. This was the third embodiment of Old Testament women's ministry, community. In the scriptures, we learn that God called Miriam, Deborah, and Huldah as prophetesses within their community. Deborah was even a judge over Israel. God bestowed spiritual gifts upon these women, and they were respected and held in high regard. They served as message bearers, actually handling the direct word of God. This was the fourth embodiment of Old Testament women's ministry, spiritual gifts. Now, women of the Old Testament, they also had other talents. I mean, they could make garments and perfumes and jewelry, and they would make fabric dyes, and they made food, and they displayed hospitality towards others. And while these are talents, they're also gifts, like prophecy, because they would be used in ways that would glorify God. He was given the honor and the credit for the gifts and the talents. In the Old Testament, women certainly were not afforded the same liberties we have today. However, they were still important in the ministry of the home and in the community. Often, women were the hands and feet, getting things done and caring for one another. But what's also very interesting about the ministry of the Old Testament women is that it was done alongside of their husbands. In most cases, the men of the Old Testament were work-at-home husbands and fathers. They were directly involved in the comings and goings of their household. They were involved in the training of their children in regard to faith, social skills, and occupation. Men were the primary spiritual leaders in their homes, and men were the priests leading the community. This is very different from what we see in most homes today, where the husband has gone to work the majority of the waking hours, and mom has taken over the responsibility of the daily rearing of the children, particularly in their spiritual life. In preparing for this course, I was intrigued at how most books and articles point toward the New Testament church as the foundation of women's ministry. However, the further you dig into the Old Testament, the more evident it becomes that women's ministry is not a new idea. It's simply an evolving one that has changed over the years as the role of women in the home, church, and in the community has changed. It roots itself in the very foundations of creation. Godly women are called to minister to other women. They are drawn to it. It happens naturally because it is exactly how God created women to be. Watermark Church published an article on the 5 characteristics of a godly woman, and I was so encouraged that each of these characteristics was actually supported by scripture from the Old Testament. She will seek God first, 1 Chronicles 16, 8-12, Psalm 27, 1-5, Psalm 40:16. She will speak faithfully, Genesis 2:18, Proverbs 31, 8-9, Psalms 19:14, Proverbs 13:3, Proverbs 24:26. She will show true beauty, Proverbs 31:30, Proverbs 11:22. She will stay humble, Isaiah 66:2, Proverbs 12:1, Micah 6:8. She will serve the Lord, Psalm 16:11 and 84:10-12. Even though some of these scriptures were not attributed to a woman directly, as you recall from our previous topic, before all things, even our gender, we are children of God, and a godly woman is going to display the same characteristics as a godly man, maybe in a different manner or to a different group or for a different purpose, but it'll be the same characteristic. Probably the best example of women's ministry in the Old Testament is the scripture of the noble woman or noble wife, the Proverbs 31 woman. In my personal experience, I have known women who love the Proverbs 31 woman and strive to be just like her. I also know of women who don't like her at all and feel a failure in comparison. So before I dive into the Proverbs 31 woman as an example of women's ministry, I want to unpack some facts about that scripture because I firmly believe that those who have a hard time with the scripture simply misunderstand it. When I first encountered the Proverbs 31 woman, I was a newlywed. I came from a divorced family. My mother was single the majority of my life. My maternal grandfather and paternal grandmother had both died before I was born. I truly didn't have an example of what marriage was like, let alone the godly one. So I turned to the scriptures. I wanted to learn what a godly wife looked like, and there I met her, the infamous Proverbs 31 woman. I also happen to be what is called an A-type personality. I like order and checklists, and I love clear instructions. So I latched onto the Proverbs 31 woman as like a lifeline. It was as if God had handed me an instruction booklet, and I just had to follow the rules. Easy, right? Wrong. I failed miserably. And the more I tried to be like her, the more I failed. And the more I failed, the more discouraged I became. And the more discouraged I became, the less I even wanted to try it. It seemed impossible. And in 16 years of women's ministry, I'm not alone. A few years later, I was given the opportunity to meet the Proverbs 31 woman again when I was invited to a Bible study on the subject. And I looked at this as an opportunity to glean from wiser women. Maybe that was the reason I was failing miserably. I just needed somebody to show me the way. Reality was that I would end up in a room full of women just like me. Whether they were seasoned wives or newlyweds, we were all intimidated by this icon of biblical womanhood. The Bible study would flip everything I thought I knew about the Proverbs 31 woman upside down. The scriptures of Proverbs 31 woman are an acrostic poem, and what that means is that each line of the poem started with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Historically, Jewish women would recite this in the evening at dinner time. It was a memorization tool, but it also served as a reminder of the women they were to become and a reminder to their husband to appreciate the wife they had been blessed with. While there's some debate as to whether or not this woman actually existed or if it was just being presented as the ideal woman, the value was still significant to women who are entering into ministry. It was also written as a chiastic poem. which basically means that it was written in an hourglass shape. Longer lines at the start, diminishing to the middle, and then increasing in size out toward the end. And a poem with a chiastic structure uses parallel lines that have corresponding themes. These parallels are not one after another, but instead the top line to the bottom line, and so on and so forth as it moves towards the middle. The very middle line is the emphasis, the main focus of the poem. The emphasis or focus of the poem is verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. John MacArthur explains it, though, like this. He is esteemed and respected by his peers in part because she has created a world for him in which he could be everything God wanted him to be. This is important because, remember, we've already established that the first embodiment of women's ministry in the Old Testament was that role of wife. Eve was Adam's helpmeet. And so as we continue to unpack the rest of the scripture, we see that these other embodiments of Old Testament women's ministry are there too. Her ministry to her husband, that role of wife, Proverbs 31:11. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. 31:12. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Her husband is respected at the city gate. 23. Her ministry to her children, that's role two. 31:14. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. 31:15. She gets up while it is still night, and she provides food for her family and portions to her servant. 31:21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. 31:27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. 31:28. Her children arise and they call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. The third role, her ministry to the community. In 31:20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. 31:24, she makes linen garments and sells them, supplying the merchants with sashes. 31:31, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. 4, her ministry with her gifts. 31:13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. 31:16, she considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. 31:17, she sets about her work vigorously, her arms are strong for her tasks. 31:22, she makes coverings for her bed, and she's clothed in fine linen and purple. 31:26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Charm is deceiving, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who feels the Lord is worthy of praise. Proverbs 31:30. If we look at the scripture, not as a long checklist of all the things that we should be doing, but we instead view it as an example of how this woman ministered to her husband and her children and her family, her community, then the task is, it just looks less daunting. We don't have to be her twin, but we can be inspired to minister like she did. The tasks that our husband entrusts to us may be different. Our children may have different needs. Our community might have different interests. And God has given us any number of gifts, but the call to ministry is the same. The Old Testament women's ministry set the foundation for what the New Testament women's ministry would become. In the early church of the New Testament, we can recognize that those four areas of ministry, wife, mother, community, and gifts, are still the foundations of godly women. When Jesus enters the scene, women's ministry begins to grow. We already have discussed the significance of New Testament women. I want to explore a little more about their particular role in ministry. The New Testament women were financial benefactors to the ministry, like Joanna. Now, Proverbs 31, so we're going to go back Old Testament, so she considers a field and she buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. There were New Testament women who were gifted with sound judgment when it came to money and investment. And as good stewards of this blessing, they used their earnings to help further Jesus' ministry during his lifetime and after. New Testament women were direct students under Jesus himself, like Mary of Bethany. In the Old Testament, Proverbs 31:26, says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Well, in order to instruct faithfully, the Proverbs 31 woman would need the knowledge of the Lord. And whether she was listening to the prophets or her husband's instruction, she was a faithful student of the Lord. In the New Testament, women have the blessing of hearing the words directly from Christ himself or from those who learn directly from him. They were faithful students, eager to hear and learn. New Testament women are leaders of their home churches, like Phoebe. Proverbs 31:20 said she opened her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. In the New Testament church, serving the poor and tending to the ill were very relevant to the women's ministry of that time. God created us as compassionate nurturers. When the church began to spring up in these cities, they were often held in homes. Many women opened their doors, welcoming in the poor in spirit, those in need of Christ. They cared for these people not just physically, but also spiritually. Some did this along with their husbands, but many were widows and were known for opening their homes to the local church and serving its people faithfully. New Testament women were also on a mission, like Priscilla, the Great Commission. Proverbs 31:14, it said, she is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. The Proverbs 31 woman was well known and respected around town. She would travel far distances to get the things she needed. Her reputation would most certainly follow her. In the New Testament, there were many women who were well known, respected. When they traveled, they were doing so with the purpose of sharing the gospel. So to recap, the four Old Testament women's ministry roles included wife, mother, community, and spiritual gifts. The four additional roles within the New Testament would include financial benefactors, students, leaders, and missionaries. As we move further forward in time to our more recent past, women's ministry would have an entirely different look. Our culture had changed. The men had left work to go work in corporate businesses, offices, and factories. Women were tending to the home from inside. There was no more gathering at the well to get water and talk amongst your friends and neighbors. Life became more secluded and scheduled, and distractions would begin to invade and erode that community as the world became more modernized. With these changes in culture, women's ministry made a major shift, and it became more formalized. It was a program within the church that provided a mixture of Bible study and socialization that the women had neglected. God creates us as relational beings, and we are holding ourselves up in our homes and heading off to work ourselves. Women's ministry changed to answer that void. The new formalized program would help us tap into those eight roles of ministry that we discovered in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But it wasn't part of our daily life like it once was. It wrapped itself up in centerpieces and luncheons. Fundraisers became an opportunity to dress up and raise money to help orphans or the poor in other countries. If left unchecked, women's ministry would become more of a social club and less Christ-focused. This is not to say that there weren't people doing women's ministry right. We still had women volunteering for missions and ladies' auxiliary groups that would make blankets for the homeless. We had women leading Bible studies and helping to pave the way for amazing revivals. But to understand where women's ministry is going in the future, we have to understand what we are currently doing right and wrong.